No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll, turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want?
Good morning to you, Monday, and it is so good to be back after a week away in Nashville for the 51st annual CMA Awards. I'm happy to be back in the 570 News chair and say a big thank you to Lisa Drew and to Jeff Pickle, who were wonderful while I was gone. I mean, if I was a more insecure person, I would just be like, that Pickle guy, he's pretty good. Lisa Drew is, I mean, she's just busy. I mean, but thank you to them, to my workmates who stepped in and took good care of this job for you and for me in my absence. Okay, Polly, producer Polly is here. I need to know some things, Polly. I need to know some things. First of all, there's a big giant jar. If you're watching us on Rogers television right now, you see that there's a jar of these original Halloween kisses. I can only assume these belong to Mike Farwell.
You know what? This is news to me because I was not here last week either.
Well, that's so, right. But you, oh, yeah.
James, what's going on?
What's happening,
was it Halloween,
James?
Or what's going on?
Producer James, there's a jar of...
Supposedly they were a gift from somebody.
Who? Are they Farwells? That's all I
are
need to
Farwells?
Know.
Are they Farwells? Yes. Okay, they're Farwells.
Well,
yes.
And you know, it seems as though he's testing me because these are my favorite. Everybody hates these Halloween kisses. I guess Farwell likes them too. I've heard that. I've heard he likes them too.
He's the only one. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago and he likes them. I don't know why.
I love them too.
No.
I love them. They're retro.
Really?
They're retro.
No.
They remind me of trick-or-treating in Truro, Nova Scotia.
No.
But see, look what they've done to the lid of this jar. Okay? They have taped the lid of the jar down. Do you see? Is this a test? Is this a test? Did he count the kisses in the jar? Am I like, he left the jar here, so I could only assume, you know, maybe that is an offering, but there's tape on it, so I feel like he's trying to see if I'll just help myself without, you know, permission to the candy kisses.
I know we did a test last week on this Timbit thing, you know, that list of Timbits.
Oh yeah, the Timbits.
Out.
Did he do that?
So he had a few in the kitchen to see which ones disappeared first.
And what happened? Because I was going to talk to you about this, Polly. I know your pot. The Chatelaine magazine did this, the definitive ranking of Tim Hortons Timbits, and I agreed with Chatelaine. That Chatelaine had the sour cream Timbit at number one.
It is very good.
My favorite.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody likes old fashioned plain.
My father used to love the old-fashioned plain donut. Not so much the Timbit, but he always used to, every Sunday morning, he'd go to work and get a coffee and an old-fashioned plain.
Is that right?
Donut.
My grandmother would make donuts, you know, your kind of old-fashioned donut. And then when she wasn't looking, we'd go get the sugar jar so we could dip them in to make them just a little bit sweeter. Okay, well, and what did Farwell find out? Which Timbit went the fastest here at the Rogers Kitchener Radio Group?
I think he only did two, because he likes
only
the
two.
Birthday cake Timbit, but he couldn't find them.
I've never had a birthday cake Timbit.
I don't know what happened. I wasn't here.
Okay.
I think the sour cream glazed,
you know what?
Won out barely.
Sour cream glazed is where it's at. It's where it's at. All right, Polly. Well, you're super helpful. You were off. So can I just say one thing, though? Producer Polly came in on vacation because as years have gone by, he helps us get the best of the award shows and get them on the air at the radio station. And Polly, you do a beautiful job of that. I know that we had a lot of help from Dave Bossy and Jordan Coolidge in production. Mm-hmm. But for you to come in on vacation to do that, were there Timbits? Why did you?
No, there weren't Timbits.
Anyway,
no.
Thank you.
Hmm.
Thank you so much for that.
I gotta look into that. Thank
you. Next time he's not doing it without free food, you guys. Okay, so let's get into all of it this morning. We've got some great stuff to talk about. We're going to continue with our spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. As we had around Oktoberfest time, the Rogers Women of the Year Awards. And there were so many people and so many great stories that came from the women in our community that we decided we were going to highlight some of those stories and talk about them as the weeks unfolded. I think we could probably do, like, you know, focus on one woman per week until we get to next year's awards. So hopefully we'll have to do that. Okay. Also, you guys, I'm back, and maybe I should preface this with an apology, but we're going to talk at 9:45. We're going to talk about the most disgusting thing you've ever had to do. The most disgusting thing you've ever had to do. I had a situation this morning in the ladies' room. It's not that graphic. It's just something happened, and I needed to deal with the situation in the ladies' room, and I didn't want to. But I had to. So in response, because I started thinking about that after it happened, that was disgusting. I really didn't want to do that. And then I started thinking about, you guys probably have stories about, you know, the most disgusting thing you've ever had to do. And I'm sure quite a few of them are in the bathroom. And I'm sure quite a few of them involve your children. So send me your stories, Jennifer@570news.com. Well, this show's already in the, it's already in the toilet, Polly. I almost said something else. And send me your stories so that we can kind of commiserate together. The most disgusting thing you've ever done. You don't know what's disgusting until you become a parent anyway. I stand by that. So send me your stories, Jennifer@570news.com. Let's start here. I come in this morning and find this. This is how bad it is now, you guys. Or how bad it's always been, and now that we're just recognizing this. One of the prep sites we use here on the radio station, this one I use on our sister station on Country 106.7, is now doing a Hollywood harassment roundup. Every day, they have to have a whole page of who's being harassed and who's coming out and who they're accusing, and so on and so forth. So it's just kind of overwhelming. So today, you know, your November 13th Hollywood harassment roundup includes Ellen Page being outed and harassed by Brett Ratner. In response, Gal Gadot, who is Wonder Woman, has now said she's not going to do Wonder Woman 2 unless Brett Ratner is not involved. Richard Dreyfuss is responding to sexual harassment allegations. ER actor Anthony Edwards says a producer-director, Gary Godard, molested him as a child. Rebel Wilson is sharing stories about being harassed by a male colleague while she was on a film project, and the list goes on and on. And of course, while I was away, we heard the revelations about Louis C.K., who has now copped to the claims of sexual misconduct. He says he abused his position within the comedy community. Netflix has scrapped plans to make his next stand-up special. And Louis C.K. says it is all true. Joining us to talk more about allegations of sexual misconduct is Howard Levitt, senior partner at Levitt LLP. Good morning to you, sir. Thanks so much for coming on with us again.
Well, thanks for having me, Jennifer.
Gosh, I know you do lots of interviews, and we thank you for having experts like you on. But you, like we as talk show hosts, must be, kind of getting tired of talking about it. I mean, we can't stop talking about it, and I'm glad we are talking about it, but I suppose that the amount of, like I say, you know, we have to have a Hollywood harassment roundup kind of list now. I mean, is this surprising to you? I know a lot of women say, no, this is not surprising to me, that women aren't surprised. Is it surprising to you in your position, sir?
Well, what didn't happen to this extent after Gomeshi. It didn't happen to this extent after Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill way back when, but I remember well. So it surprises me that it's caught on to this extent that everyone is outing everyone. It hasn't happened ever before.
Yeah, and is that, I mean, and if we think back to Clarence Thomas, I mean, we know that Anita Hill was, you know, completely vilified for this. Clarence Thomas is still on the Supreme Court in the U.S. So, I mean, we've definitely felt a shift in that kind of the way we treat people. I hope that's the shift that we're having, that come forward with these allegations. Perhaps not.
No, no question about that.
Yeah, yeah. But still, of course, we know that we needed that Me Too campaign. We needed the I Believe Her campaigns. Are those things helping? Is it the amount of voices together collectively that are moving this forward so quickly?
Well, it is, because what's happened is that the villains are being vilified, not the victims. And that's a shift. And even in Gomeshi, the criminal trial, of course, criminal trials are rough on accusers because of the burden of proof, the lack of production, the lack of information flow, which only goes one way. So Canadian women who might have come forward were horrified watching what happened to those who accused Jean Gomeshi. It would have been all different if it had been a lawsuit in a civil case or a sexual harassment case, but people don't understand that. In any event, and now they're saying, oh boy, people are coming forward with what happened to them. And there's no negative consequence. If anything, they're being applauded for coming forward. So it encourages more people to come forward, and not just in Hollywood.
And that's it. Howard Levitt is our guest, senior partner at Levitt LLP. I saw a lot of responses on Twitter bringing up the fact that, you know, for every person in Hollywood who's being accused, every perhaps actress or woman that does have some power at this point in her career, you know, there are still a lot of women suffering in workplaces who don't have that kind of, you know, power on their side.
Or receptive and influential audiences who are going to congratulate them for coming forward, as they do if they're in Hollywood. And if they do, because the media says, well, they now presume guilt on behalf of anyone accused in a way that isn't yet quite true in the workplace, but is largely true and increasingly true. But you're right, people in quiet, large offices, and there's a very active CEO who the reputation of the company rests upon, who maybe is their main rainmaker and source of influence, and you come forward and announce that person, there's going to be a lot of pressure. The way there isn't in Hollywood.
Right, yeah. And I was reading the other day that 75% of Canadian women who did report harassment say that they suffered repercussions from that reporting.
I don't know that particular survey or what period of time that was taken, and I suspect that would be less so today, because I can tell you Canadian employers are terrified right now when they're watching what's going on, and they're very quick to leap upon allegations and take serious measures in a way they weren't a year ago.
Yeah, that shift is
very quick.
Very quick, yeah. When we talk about the legal system, and during Gomeshi we talked about this a lot, that I don't know what the answer is, that there needs to be some sort of revamp when it comes to the way sexual assault survivors are treated by the police, by lawyers, and by the courts, by, you know, lawyers who are cross-examining them, and so on and so forth. It seems like such a daunting thing. How do you change those laws, and is it possible to start changing those laws in ways that perhaps will be you know, less accusatory and more supportive of survivors of sexual assault?
No, I would say two things about that. First of all, it's unlikely there's ever going to be a change that makes sexual assault cases different than other criminal cases and basic presumptions. I've never been a great fan of beyond a reasonable doubt. I think that's just too high an onus. So if you ever change that to a strong balance of strong probabilities or something like that, that will change things. But that would have to permeate the entire criminal justice system. And that's a pretty big ask. But what I think the second point is this. They would have been much better off if they had not laid criminal charges, but instead, you know, those who worked for him had sued him civilly, had sued him for sexual assault civilly, because in the criminal process, the women have to give all their documents. The accusers have to give all their documents. So Gomeshi knew in advance everything they had, but they didn't know what he had.
Right.
They walked in deer in a headlight. If they'd sued for sexual assault civilly or for sexual harassment in the Human Rights Tribunal or civilly, it'd be very different. Gomeshi would have had to produce all those emails he kept, and they would have been prepared in the same way that he was prepared. And it would have been a very different fight. And if you remember the last accuser, she pled at the end of the day to some sort of minor remedy And then she went on the courthouse steps and read a statement denouncing him viciously and going through everything he had done. Really got her way to tell her story. And she's much, it was a peace bond and she, that she agreed to. And she as much as said, please, Gomeshi, make my day. Go ahead and sue me. And if you don't sue me, it's as much as an admission.
Right.
And if you do sue me, it'll be a very different game than the criminal process, which I've just accepted a peace bond rather than go through. I think that's the answer for women.
Yeah.
They have to understand that people don't, who aren't lawyers or aren't sophisticated in the legal system, don't appreciate the difference between the criminal process and the civil process. And the civil process includes the Human Rights Tribunal, sexual assault, civil lawsuits for money. Very different. And maybe that's where people should be focusing on, rather than a game where it's really stacked against victims.
Why didn't they do that, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think they were well advised.
Right.
People said, the police said, please come forward, tell your stories. Mm-hmm. So they came forward and told their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they got slaughtered in the criminal system, which anybody who knows the criminal system could have predicted.
Yeah, yeah. We see that re-victimization, you know, all the time.
But unless you change the onus of proof
mm-hmm.
and make mutual disclosure part of the criminal system like it is the civil system, mm-hmm. it will always be that way.
Howard Levitt, senior partner at Levitt LLP. What then, sir, is your advice? And if there's a woman listening to us right now who is, you know, hearing parts of her story in this conversation or on the news, what is your advice then to her? Like the first, perhaps, three things that she needs to do?
Well, I'm assuming for the moment we're talking about an employee because that's my beat.
Mm-hmm.
So let's presume that for a second. She goes to her employer or past employer and says, do you have a sexual harassment policy? Or checks the intranet or checks the company policy book and looks for one. Do you have a harassment policy? And by the way, at law, every company has to have a harassment policy in Ontario. So if they don't, that's the first problem. But then you check the harassment policy, which presumably they'll quickly devise if they don't have one,
mm-hmm.
and you launch a complaint pursuant to it. That's issue one. Secondly, what you do is if it's within the last 2 years, because it's a two-year limitation period, you seek legal advice about possibly taking legal action civilly.
Right.
For both the assault and the human rights violation if it's less than an assault.
Which is the key that we just discussed here. That's
yes.
The difference. Yeah. Okay.
Totally different.
Yeah. Howard Levitt, it's always so great to have your voice on these issues, and I certainly appreciate your time. I also appreciate you not sending me a bill for $750.
Next time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk again soon. Thank you. Take good care. I don't know what his rate is per hour, but I know he's damn good. That's all I know. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. My favorite story from the internet today is about a brand new hockey baby. We'll tell you who had the baby and what the problem will be when it comes to picking a jersey for that baby after this.
When extreme weather hits, count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center.
I love this story this morning. Made me smile. Caroline Ouellette, who was the captain of the Canadian women's hockey team, and Julie Chu, who was the captain of the U.S. women's hockey teams, have had a baby. Our faith and love restored. They used to compete against each other, and now they have welcomed little baby Liv Chu Ouellette, announced to the world on Twitter just last week. And of course, where does this story go in your mind? Because Ouellette and Chu have faced off against each other on so many occasions, considered two of the greatest female hockey players of all time. They both wore the number 13, which is kind of cool. And now they have this little baby together. And of course, the obvious question, the only question here is, which jersey is that baby going to wear? Team Canada or Team U.S. Ouellette is 38, and she took the Canadian women's hockey team to victory at the Sochi Olympics. She's got 4 Olympic gold medals. She's one of only 3 women to have won the Clarkson Cup and have gold medals from both the Olympics and the World Hockey Championships. Chu is 35, 4-time Olympian, 2nd most decorated American woman in the history of the Winter Games. Power couple. I love that. They need to make this a movie. CBC? Talking Lifetime in the States? I don't know. But what a great little story. So congratulations to Caroline Ouellette and Julie Hsu, the ex-captains of Team Canada and the U.S. women's hockey teams. So look at that. We can just all get along, even when it comes to our beloved game. On the way next, another spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. We'll do that. And I need your stories, too. It's the most disgusting thing you've ever had to do. I had to do something disgusting in the bathroom today at work. And that's what got me thinking about it. I want to hear your stories coming up at 9:45. News is next from the 570 Newsroom. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show.
You can scroll through your selfies all day.
Let me take a selfie.
Or put some actual news in your newsfeed. Click on 570news.com or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
Back. Thanks for coming back with us. I only ate one of those candies during the commercial break. And I feel like if I'm honest with you guys about it, I don't really need to tell Farwell I'm in here eating this candy. He shouldn't leave it here. It's like my kids. If you're going to leave your candy around, probably going to eat it. Probably going to eat it. 9:32. The most disgusting thing you've ever had to do. I want to hear about that coming up. At 9:45, a nasty situation in the ladies' room today, and I'm going to share it with you. When I went in earlier to tell producer Polly and producer James this idea, Polly groaned all over the place. Oh, no! So I want to hear your disgusting stories, too. Please, you know, that thing that you had to do one time. You had to do it because nobody else was going to do it for you, and it kind of makes you groan Still makes you shudder. Like, seriously, I was gone for a week. Nobody fixed this microphone. Hello? Bueller, is it just me that can't handle it, Polly? Okay. No, really. Like, I think I have to hold it up for the rest of the show. Look, problems in here. Maybe it's this one. There. Oh, good. Did it myself. That's the thing. That's the thing. Okay. So earlier actually, it was in October. We're into November. We had the Rogers Women of the Year Awards in celebration and leading up to Oktoberfest. So we had so many stories that night of amazing women doing wonderful things across Waterloo Region. And I like went off and shot my mouth off the next day and said, I think we should interview one of these ladies, one of these women every week and hear their story because there's so many great stories. And that's what we decided we would do. So we're continuing with our spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. And this morning, our guest is a nominee from the entrepreneur category. Her name is Anna Acedo-Gurin, and she joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Anna.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Okay, so let's talk about what you do at ClearPath Employer Services, what exactly that is, and why people should probably give you a call.
Okay. Well, it's funny you had Howard Levitt on there this morning because I listen to him often on the radio. We are HR consultants, so Howard's right up my alley in terms of the stuff he talks about, and I love listening to his things, and usually I agree with him, but sometimes I don't. So we help small, medium-sized employers with their HR issues, and we have a specialty around disability management. So we're helping employers with employees that have perhaps hurt themselves at work or maybe at home, and they need to kind of get back to work. So that's the kind of thing we do. In KW, actually, we work pretty much across Canada, so all provinces.
So when you say, so an HR consultant, so when there's an issue that the HR internally cannot kind of solve themselves between the employee and the department, that's when you guys come in?
It's Well, a lot of times our smaller employers don't have HR, so they don't have anybody that knows what to do in those situations. And so they call us for an expert opinion. Our staff are all HR professionals, so they've had many years of experience with different kinds of things. So if someone is, you know, you have an employee relations issue or a termination you may need to do, or you just have a question about changing terms of employment, those kinds of things we would do on the HR side. On the disability management side, it's really about helping the employer understand how to bring someone back to work once they've hurt themselves. So that in that case, I'm dealing with typically a larger organization that probably has HR. But again, the HR department may not have that particular specialty. So it's a lot of medical on that side of the table. And you know, some HR departments just don't have that expertise. So they lean on organizations like us that can help them navigate through the medical part of things.
So when you started ClearPath in 2003, you kind of thought that this was going to be a short-term thing. You didn't think that this would kind of turn into something that would be your business and your career for the next 20 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I like to tell people I started my living room when my kids were still very little. I had two little babies back to back, if you will, and it was just going to be my gig for a while, and I ended up really enjoying it a lot, and the company grew, and a lot of great people helped me along the way. And interestingly, we've just actually sold our company, so I should put a little plug into my new owner. So, and I did not retire. I'm continuing to work for them. So a larger firm, Lindley Eli in London, has purchased ClearPath, and so they are more disability management side of things, and they're an amazing organization to be affiliated with. So yeah, 14, 15 years ago, we started this in my living room, and it's amazing what can happen when you have the right people supporting you and the right people on your team. I have a very awesome team. I'm going to shout out. Hopefully, I don't know if any of them are listening this morning. I was a bit nervous to tell anybody else.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are.
But they are awesome ladies and gentlemen that work for me. And so pretty happy to, you know, you can't do this on your own, Jennifer. You have to have a lot of people backing you up. My husband, Dave, I got to give a shout out as well, has been a very driving force in the business of how successful we've been. So it's definitely not just me.
Do you know who nominated you? And is there, and I don't mean why they nominated you. Obviously, you are a firm and wonderful leader in this community. But do you know who nominated you? And what was your kind of reaction when you heard that you would be part of this amazing night with women in Waterloo Region?
I'm so humbled by the whole thing, because it's just when you go to this event, if you've not been to this event, I have to say it's a pretty awesome event for ladies to go to, because you can see all these wonderful. I don't know I belong in that group, really. They're awesome people that have done some amazing things. So I'm really humbled to say this is actually my second year that I was nominated. So last year, I know my husband nominated me. This year, I don't know who nominated me exactly, but yeah, it's a really humbling kind of experience to go there, be a nominee, and be in that whole group of women that are just amazing. The winners this year were awesome again. And so it's been a great experience. And I would definitely recommend, you guys are awesome too, you host the events, and it's a great way to showcase what people can do in the community. So,
and feet on the ground, what they are doing, you know, it's such a wide range of you know, volunteers and business owners and young people and people who've done lifetimes of volunteering. Anna Acedo-Gurin is our guest. She was one of our nominees as we spotlight women around Waterloo Region earlier in October. We celebrated once again. We're well into 27 years, I believe, of Rogers Women of the Year Awards. So, Anna, we say thank you to you. Thank you for coming that night. Thank you. And thank you so much for everything you do. I ask you this, too, before I let you go, because I think this has been such a theme when we talk to the women who were part of these awards, is mentorship. And that is the theme that comes up again and again and again. Was there someone who was your mentor or that led you probably into a place where you thought, you know, I'm going to own my own business, I'm doing this, and this is going to be kind of my life's work?
You know what? I think I've been really lucky. I feel like I've been in the right place at the right time and met the right people in my life at the right time. So there's been many people that have mentored me over the years. But if there is one, I would say that I would call out this morning is Isabel Hetherington. She's owner of Millennium Compliance, so another wonderful woman business owner. And it, as a business owner, and if you're a woman, it is wonderful to see other women having success. So for me, that's been kind of a goal, mission, whatever you want to call it, that I like to try and be a mentor to other young women coming through, because I think that they need to see that it's possible and that it's and have support through the process. It's never, you know, it's not easy to be a woman in business for sure. And it's nice to see when there's success. So yeah, Isabel has been a long time mentor for me, but there's been so many. My husband Dave's been a mentor as well. He's very business focused and has been awesome support. And it's just getting the right people at the right time to help you through whatever situation you're going through. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Anna Acedo-Gurin, who joins us as one of our nominees this year for Women Around Waterloo Region. We continue that spotlight each and every Monday. Anna, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Enjoy Have your day. Day. Thank you. Okay. You too. Bye-bye. There's enough success in the world for all of us. I don't even remember who told me one time, success is not a pie. It's not a pie. It's not going to run out of pieces, you know? So we'll continue with those spotlights on the Rogers Women of the Year that we could do each and every Monday. I had to check and make sure today's Monday. Today's Monday. Something disgusting happened today in the loo at work. And I'm gonna give you the detailed run through, whether you want it or not. What's the most disgusting thing that you ever had to do? I was in a position where I had to make a choice. And I think I made the right choice in the public washroom this morning. We will tell that story and hear yours. Star 570 519-570-2545. What's the most disgusting thing you ever had to do? Give us a call or you can email me to jennifer@570news.com. That's next on the Jennifer Campbell Show.
We crowdsource our traffic from the bumper to bumper crowd surrounding you.
Real-time traffic solutions from sources across the city and you. Your traffic team is 570 News, Kitchener's breaking news, traffic and weather station.
We are back at 9:46, and sometimes life is messy. I constantly travel with hand sanitizer in my purse because I get grossed out really easily. It's not a secret. You know what I really like is the Purell hand sanitizer, the wipies, the little hand sanitizer wipies, which I know are not good for the environment and probably... or maybe, you know, not the best option. But I was once on a plane where it was a tiny plane, and it didn't have much space in the bathroom. So there wasn't even a sink. There was no sink in the bathroom. But they did have this really handy box of Purell hand wipey, you know, like a wet nap kind of. Only so anyway, I've enjoyed those, and I might have taken five or six, kind of like Farwell's candy that I've been stealing today, and put them in my purse to remind myself to try to find them somewhere and buy them, which I did at a Costco. So we all know that life can be pretty horribly messy sometimes. So earlier this morning, I was doing the show on our sister station on Country 106.7 and I needed to go to the ladies' room and knew that I had, you know, maybe like a 3.5 minute window. What's your average song length? About 3.5 minutes. So I did that. I ran there. And perhaps it was because I was in a hurry and I was, you know, I always tell my kids, slow down. You've bumped into four things in the past 2 minutes and this is your fourth Band-Aid. Like, slow down. Maybe I should take my own advice. So I finished in the bathroom. I was just peeing, stood up, turned around to go to flush the toilet, and accidentally my sweater grazed the top of the toilet paper holder, where there was an almost empty roll of toilet paper. It still had a little bit on there. Maybe I should have used that instead of the new one that was coming down. And the toilet paper roll fell into the toilet that I had not yet flushed. So now I'm like, okay, well, it's my pee, except for it's a public toilet. And I cannot flush the empty paper towel, toilet paper roll down the toilet. I'm going to cause plumbing issues. Nor can I just walk away like from this and pretend it didn't happen, because I know it happened and I saw it happened and I carry the guilt. So I can't leave it there. So I thought, what am I going to do? And remember, time is running out. I've probably got, 60 seconds to make a choice. Am I going to put my hand into the public toilet and retrieve the empty toilet paper roll, or what am I going to do? So I step out of the stall and I see a bottle of hand lotion that has like a long neck and kind of the pump on top of it in the ladies' room. Sometimes in the ladies' room, they leave extra little things for you. So I grab that and I fish the soaked toilet paper roll out of the toilet, being very careful to not drip it on anything, to like shake it above the toilet and carry it to the garbage and then throw it in the garbage. So then I had to throw the hand lotion out too, because the hand lotion now has been inside a public toilet. So I've stolen someone's hand lotion to clean up this disaster I've created. And then, so I still have to send out an email that says, whoever's hand lotion was in the public bathroom today, I'm sorry, it's gone. It's never coming back. And the whole time I just thought to myself, well, this has been really gross, and I was on it. And like I say, the clock was definitely ticking. So producer James, I was in there telling you that this morning. Polly was groaning. He's still flinching over there. And I thought, okay, I think this might be good if we get people to tell us the grossest thing they ever had to do. So *570-519-570-2545. You can call us and tell us your disgusting moment. And then when I was thinking about this more, I remembered being a waitress at Casey's in my 20s and going to the washroom during a shift and a $100 bill coming out of my apron, my serving apron, and falling into the public toilet. And let me tell you what, I had two, because I already flushed, and I had about 2 seconds to decide, are you pulling that sucker out or aren't you? And you're darn right I put my hand in there and pulled out that $100 bill.
A $100 bill? What else was going on at this restaurant?
Well, it was probably people would pay that, they would pay for their dinner, right? Like I would carry around all of the money, and at the end of the night I'd have to, so I would have been short $100. And I was like a starving waitress. So I thought to myself, okay, well, money's already really just dirty. It's dirty. And then so I pulled it out. I had to go back to that kitchen and scrub, because then I had to serve people food, you guys. Had my hand in the toilet in the bathroom. So Polly's never coming over for dinner. So did you guys come up, producer James, did you come up with a good story?
Yeah, I have
one. All right,
one.
Okay.
So back in my teenage years, I worked at the McDonald's just down the street from my house in Winnipeg, and it had a play structure in it. So all the kids that came to McDonald's eat their Happy Meal, then play on the play structure. It just so happened that every now and again, a kid would decide that he would need to go to the bathroom while in the play structure.
And he's having too much fun.
Right.
So he can't leave the ball pit.
So he can't leave.
Right.
So it would be up to the McDonald's employees to be the ones to clean that. So this guy was one of those that had to clean that once. And I got a free meal out of it, but still, it was gross.
You had to go back and serve food, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean a free meal? Don't you guys already get free? They don't give you free McDonald's food?
Well, it was a discount that was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
50% off.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
But yeah, my manager gave me a free meal for doing that and stuff. So,
and was it in the, it's always in the ball pit. Like I've seen quite a few people have bloody noses in the ball pit.
This one was actually going down the slide, one of the slides.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Oh.
It like had to be cleaned up right away because there's another kid coming down.
Oh.
And,
and that kid's mom's like, no, Junior, not today.
Yeah, don't go.
I can't. The ball pit is the place that I had a really hard time with that as a mom, letting my kid in there. because of, you know, hearing stories from employees. Like, how often do the balls come out and go through the dishwasher? That's what I want to know. Because I feel like never. It's rare. Yeah. Does that ever happen? Yeah. All right, Polly, what did you come up with? Do you have one for us?
I don't have anything specific. I know I have had to fish stuff out of the toilet before, but I can't remember what or how I did it. But I know I've done that at least once.
It's just the worst. Ugh. Yeah, and you just need to, like, even, like, on Saturdays, if I'm cleaning the toilets, I do all of the house cleaning and then have a shower because I just feel like my hands have been in, you know, on the floor and wiping up toilets. Jennifer sends us an email, jennifer@570news.com. Jen says, oh my gosh, welcome to the club. I've also plunged my bare hand up to my elbow into the toilet to unclog the toilet. Gag. My child flushed it. It was getting ready to overflow. So faced with the choice of an overflowing full toilet in my bathroom, Mama saved the day. No plunger in sight. I made the disgusting call. It just seemed better than the resulting mess that would have ensued. Washed my hands for hours later.
Isn't that the most terrifying thing in the world when the water, you flush the toilet and the water goes up and like, please, no, I can't do this now. No, just please. Please.
You're like praying and begging to the toilet can hear you, you know? Just don't. And that reminded me of two stories about my kids. The first one is when he was a baby, I was telling you guys, and this one's really disgusting. So I'm sorry if you're eating, maybe come back in a couple minutes. But he was a brand new baby, a couple months old, and I was a brand new mom, and I hadn't really learned yet that you, after the baby eats, you don't jostle him too much. And my kid wasn't much of a puker. Like, he would tend to keep things down. He didn't throw up a lot.
I make that mistake with my cats all the time. I move them around after they ate. And
then they throw up?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that happened with cats, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I don't touch my cat when he's eating. He just...
Is that right?
Yeah. I let him eat and then let him settle a little bit, and then I'll screw with them. But
they're like babies. I didn't know. So I had nursed this baby. All this kid wanted to do was nurse. And then I was laying down on the floor with him, and I was kind of, you know, playing with him above my head. And he spit up, and it went into my mouth. So the breast milk that I had created in my body and then fed to my baby, he then gave back to me.
That's disgusting.
It was bad, Polly. And I know nursing moms will tell you this too. If you have a dog, like every time the baby spits up, quite often the dog will get to the kid first, to the spit up, and you're like just going to get a paper towel, and it's too late because the dog is, just having a snack. Mm-hmm. With the toilet thing too, when my son was about three, he flushed too many times, and I don't know what he had done, but it was overflowing to the point of like leaking through to my laundry room downstairs. Like, it was really coming down, this water, and I was home alone with him. And so, as I tend to do, I got a little over animated, and I was like, you need to sit on the couch and stop so mommy can figure out what we're doing here. And so he didn't want to do that. So I finally figure out how to turn the water off, and I grab the towels and I go out to the living room, and he's into the family room because we were downstairs, and he's gone. He's not there. He's gone. He's like 3 years old. He's gone. And so I look out the window, and my next door neighbor is coming back with his plunger and his shop vac. And he's like, well, the 3-year-old said that it was raining in the house and that his mommy needed help because she was yelling. And so he went over to get the neighbor to help me. But anyway, the kid wouldn't flush the toilet for like 3 years after that. Never would flush the toilet. Just ran next door for some help. Thank you for sharing those stories. Thanks, Jennifer and Danielle as well for sending an email on that one. Okay, Mike Frowell is next. He's got lots of candy to get him through the day. I hope you enjoy this Monday, and I will see you in the morning.